Well, good afternoon to you all. Good to see you all here. My name is Carol Hirschberger, and I am a part-time artist for CLP. I work for them. I'm out of house, and I've worked for probably maybe 5 years or so. And I started out doing story papers, and I'm working on a book right now. So anyway, I'm excited about this class because I just think there's a tremendous amount of potential in this room. And I hope that some of the principles that have helped me will help you all. So the most awesome thing about being an artist is that as an artist, we become an imitator of the first artist, who is God Almighty. And our most beautiful pieces are inspired by his original work. And so we should pay very close attention to what he considers as important. And in the oldest book, in the first chapter of the first story ever written, what is recorded as the beginning of God's work? It says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." That should tell us something. All we have to do to start to grasp the importance of light in our artwork is to view artwork in the absence of light, which I have here. So here's some artwork in the absence of light. So today we're going to talk about the crucial impact of sunshine and shadow in our drawings, and then you're going to have a chance to put some of that power down on your paper. So as artists, I believe that we should come to our drawings as learners. When we're young, we come thinking we know, and we think in our head. So everybody's head is pretty much round. So we draw a round head, and then we look at somebody that's standing, and we say, well, their body is pretty straight. So we put a straight body, and then their legs are sort of like an upside-down V. So an upside down V, and then their arms are straight, at least if they're going like this. So there's our man. And that's pretty impressive, right? So if there's one thing that I want you to remember when you walk out of this workshop today, it is that you as the artist are the learner, and your subject is the teacher, and you observe, and put on your paper what you see. And one thing that will help you to come as a learner is if you view what your subject, what you're drawing, not so much maybe thinking of it in your mind as a man or a horse or a tree, but if you view it as light and dark shapes in a very important pattern, if you can put those light and dark shapes down accurately, then your subject will jump out joyfully and maybe surprise you with how neat it looks. So train your eyes to see shapes, and your work will thank you. So I'm going to jump right into some practical things here. These are like foundational elements for winsomely portraying light in your artwork. So first of all, your tools are important. So I'm going to share some that have been helpful for me. First of all, good quality paper. This is Bristol paper. And this is very, what I like about this is it's very heavy duty and smooth. And so you can put really rich darks in there, you can work it and shade it, and it won't chew your paper up. And so good quality paper really helps you produce some vivid contrast, light and dark. So that's paper. And then pencils. Use the kind of pencil that does what you want to do at that moment. So if you want to get some, I use basically kind of .5 millimeter mechanical pencil. That allows you to get some really nice crisp details and crisp lines. That's really valuable. And then if you want some rich, soft darks, I learned the hard way that mechanical pencils don't fill in a large dark area very quickly. So something like a nice soft 6B, 4B, something like that will work well for you. And then tortillons, those little paper pencils in front of you. How many of you are familiar with tortillons? Those are little miracle workers for creating smooth shading, like in faces. You start using those and your skin just pops out and just makes you happy with how I don't know how smooth it is. And they don't have graphite on, as you can, some of yours might because they're used. But as you use them, they get dirty, and then you can actually use them to draw. So, and for those of you who have not used them, they look like a pencil, but you don't use them like a pencil. You don't draw with the point because that squashes them. So you kind of hold them on the side and kind of draw with the side of the point. I actually have a very huge one right here, which I've never used this huge, but I'm looking forward to trying it on background. So, like that on the side. So anyway, Tertullian's. And also, one thing to remember with those, you want to do with your pencil strokes. So if you're going like this, shading with your pencil strokes, you don't want to go like this with your Tertullian, you want to go like this with your pencil strokes. So Tertullian's, and then erasers, the little gray things in front of you are kneaded erasers, which most of you might be familiar with. And those are neat because they allow you to get some of the fine details. You can form them in the shape that you want. So if you've got, and they allow you to lift out little highlights. So if you've got like a little girl out in the sunshine, she's got kind of a dark background behind her, and the sun is shining on her hair, some little wisps of hair that are really cute, and you want to get those out, and you've got the background in, you can form your eraser and go in there and lift some of those little hairs out. But what I actually use more is a Faber-Castell dust-free eraser, and those, I like them better, which those on your table are not necessarily that, but they might be similar. I like them better because they hold their shape better, and so they get your lines better sometimes. And if once the end gets dirty, which it does frequently, you can just cut a thin sliver off and you've got a new clean eraser to get your fine details. And then a transparent ruler, those are good if you're drawing something and the line should be straight and they are not straight, your drawing will not look right. So get your lines straight with a ruler. And this last one is just kind of a fun little bonus. You don't have to use it to draw well, but I learned that if you have good quality paper, you can take a large needle, like a sewing needle, and you can draw lines onto the paper. I don't know if any of you have tried that, but like, so say that same little girl, if we wanted to get her little hairs, before we put that dark background down, we just draw those little hairs in, and then you put your graphite down on top of them, and those little white hairs just pop right out because it's indented down the paper and the graphite doesn't go down in. So I drew a book on earthworms recently which had a lot of dirt in it, and I used those to get my fine little roots, and they worked well. And they create some neat effects that can be hard to achieve otherwise. So that's number one, your tools are important. Number two, get your line drawings accurate before you start. The best shading, the best sunlight and shadow is not going to salvage a bad line drawing. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with using a grid. You take a clear piece of plastic and you draw with your transparent ruler an accurate grid on that, and then put that on your reference photo, and then you draw a grid very lightly on your paper, and that helps you, the squares help you to see things as shapes and transfer that accurately onto your paper. And Lee Hammond, I learned to draw using a book by Lee Hammond, and I highly recommend that if you want to progress in drawing. She's very good at drawing people and smooth shading and some of the things that we're trying to focus on today. You could get her book on Amazon, probably at the library, perhaps. So anyway, accurate line drawings. So I'm going to, if I can find my pointer here. Yeah, here it is. So here's a picture that demonstrates what might, a picture that doesn't have accurate line drawings might look like. So I found this online, and it's kind of a charming picture. It's got the mother and the baby and a happy scene, and she has, you know, some decent texture in the hair. But in some of the, it's a little bit hard to see some of the details with the light. But you can see on the baby's face there, it's pretty oblong. It's not really round like a cute little baby face could be. And everything kind of slants, like the eye kind of slants, the nostril kind of slants. Things kind of slant on that charming little baby face and make it not as charming as it could be. And I know that hands are hard to draw, I know that from personal experience, but I will point out here that fingers do not curve like that in real life. And that doesn't really help the charm. And baby hands, I think, are just like one of the most charming things in life. They're cute and they're fat and they're dimply. And this little baby hand just doesn't do that for me. It's a little bit messy and you kind of wonder if it actually has a pinky finger or what that finger is. And it just kind of really destroys some of the charm that could be there. So anyway, you want to get your line drawings accurate. So, tools, good tools, accurate line drawings. Third, perfect your smooth shading. This is important too, and we'll work on this a little bit today. So if you really want to produce realistic work, this is a must. Sometimes shadow and sunshine, they drape on your subject in kind of this velvet blanket, and sometimes they're these bold and vivid shapes that just pop out, but what they never do, is have unblended pencil lines in them that stick out like a sore thumb. So get your shading smooth. Learn how to shade smoothly. Again, Lee Hammond's book will help you on this a lot if you want to study that more. Tertullian will help you a lot with that. And we'll work on that a little bit today. And this takes a lot of practice and practice and practice and patience. So here is somebody that did an absolutely excellent job on smooth shading. Just a beautiful example of darker skin. There, we've got the nice shadow up there, and then here, kind of the highlight, and the transition is just seamless. And pencil lines, you don't think anything about pencil lines when you look at that portrait. You think it's a beautiful portrait of a man. Down here, you know, under the glasses, there's kind of a more of a vivid shape, but again, it's very smooth. There's no pencil lines in that. So that's just an excellent, excellent example of smooth shading. Here's another picture. This is not a bad picture. He's got a good line drawing. It's kind of charming. It looks realistic. He's got some nice texture in the hair. The hand looks realistic. But if you really want to produce something really realistic, I mean, if you look at your neighbor and you look at the shadow under their chin, they don't have pencil lines in the shadow. So what you can do is just take your Tertullian and smooth some of that out, and like his shirt, you could put in a few more darks, you could go in with your Tertullian and blend those out and create more of a realistic pencil drawing. But again, that's a very good, I mean, it's charming the way it is, it's good the way it is, but if you really wanted to make it accurate, if you really wanted to make it realistic, you could do some more smooth shading on that. So. Another thing with shading, you want to learn how to see through your shadows. Like, shadows are not this black pancake that sits against you. They lay against you. And you want to try to make your shadows two-dimensional. So say, you know, the sun is shining up here and shining down, and my chin is making a shadow on my neck. It's not going to be a flat black pancake. It's going to lay across. You'll see maybe the muscles and whatever, some highlights maybe coming through a little bit, and that really helps to create a realistic drawing that's two-dimensional. So here again, you want to observe, draw what you see. That's very important, draw what you see. In pencil drawings, you want to put your darkest darks in first and leave your highlights white. Highlights are very, very important, and especially in small areas like the eye, which is extremely crucial, you can't always pull out those bright whites again. So keep your highlights white, and here's where your Tertullian comes into play. So here's your dark, and you just pull out and pull out and pull out and pull out again and again until it creates this smooth and seamless transition in your drawing. So. Tools, quality tools, accurate line drawings, smooth shading, and fourth, this one is very important. So when CLP first asked me to give this, I told my mom, well, I wouldn't know what to say for all that time. I'd just say, get your darks dark and get your whites white, and I'd sit down and I'd be done. So get your darks dark and get your whites white, and that's very crucial for creating contrast. Beautiful shine and contrast, like, you know, in the ripple of water or the sparkle of an eye or the the warm glow of the sun coming through the window and hitting a copper tea kettle. That it's light against dark that creates beautiful contrast, and observe. It's very important. So I'm gonna give you a beautiful example of that. Isn't that just amazing? Here again, this demonstrates shapes. Like, do you see how many little tiny intricate shapes make that up, and how long it must have taken that person to do that accurately? But here they use light and dark very, very effectively here. Here's this beautiful little, very important white line, and inside is very dark, outside is very dark. Here they have some beautiful white up here, white and dark, and white and darker and white. And that just creates this beautiful, beautiful shine. And then up here, again, that very important little white line there. So light and dark next to each other make a very happy shine. So if you see, it's kind of common to keep everything sort of a safe shade of gray, but if you see a bold black, and if you see a bright white, get that intensity down on your paper, and it will make your drawing shine. So, again, you want to observe. In realistic drawings, things are not defined by lines. Things are defined by light and dark shapes meeting and defining each other. So if a boy is wearing a white shirt, you'd want to, in your picture, you'd want to have the dark background. You know, in the beginning, you'd probably define it with a line, but by the time your drawing was done, you'd want to have a dark background coming up smoothly and his white shirt popping out against it, so there is no visible line. But that's not always practical. Sometimes you've got a light skin against a light background or whatever. So one thing that you can do to kind of keep realism in your drawings and to bring light in is to learn to break your lines. So the sun is shining on you, say from here, hits your shoulder, that's the brightest highlight, so break your line right there. And that will let in a little happy sunshine and keep the realism there. So like for instance, this little guy here, so the fence post is kind of the shadow behind him, and that makes his white shirt pop out. And then down here, we leave it a little lighter and his dark pants pop out. Up here, it's white against white, so we break the line a little bit there. And that brings a little sunlight into the picture. And so, good quality tools, accurate line drawings, smooth shading, vivid contrast, dark darks, light lights. That will make your drawing shine. And I'm going to go over a few of the shadows here before we start drawing. So here, it kind of shows the different darks that you can aim for, and you can look at your drawing and see, well, is it like this, and then, or you can kind of match your reference photo to these. That can help you to get in your mind what should be going on your paper. So down here is the cast shadow. That's going to be basically your darkest shadow down there. Reflected light, that doesn't come from your light source. It comes from objects around that are throwing the light onto your object. And that really, see how that just makes your ball pop right there? It looks like a round object. Here we have, so reflected light is important. Here we have the shadow edge. That's your dark gray. Here we have the half tone, and then here we have the full light. And I'm going to show you one more picture here, and this is just a beautiful example of kind of what everything that we're studying today. Here's vivid black next to white. Nice beautiful twinkle in the eye. Here's the little sunlit hairs, little blonde hairs. Here we have the darker ear, dark right here, and looks like some reflected light right there. Then down here the cheek is dark, and here the background makes the dark pop. Here the cheek gets a little whiter, and see how she just sticks a little dark down there and makes the roundness of the cheek pop out. Just excellent smooth shading on the face. And down in the mouth, you can just feel the wet in there. She's got this important little shimmer in there, a little white highlight. Anyway, so that's just, I like to look at pictures and just get inspired with what can be done. So I am, at this point, we're going to try a little of that shading. We're going to try to kind of do this right here, but not the boxes. So you want to start, you can flip your picture paper over so it's not on the picture, and start and get some really dark darks down there, vivid darks. And by the time you get down here, you probably don't even want to be drawing with your pencil because it'll get it too dark all the way down. You should be taking your Tertullian and bringing it down. And if you try to get it as smooth and seamless as possible, if you are doing up here, you got a couple dark strokes and then you've got a lighter one, then you've got dark, go back in, fill that dark up again. Do two or three of those and try to achieve some real smooth shading. Okay, so if everybody has worked on a couple of those, you can flip your paper over and start working on the little pot. Okay. And so on this, if you truly do justice to this, it'll probably take you longer than the class, maybe. But notice there's a lot of shapes in there, and you don't have to put all those shapes in, but that's gonna help your realism and make it really cool. You can put as many of those in as you want, and notice how black, 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 dark that is, and how white, white that is. So make sure you get some of that beautiful contrast in there. And yeah, speed is not really the goal here. Creating some of that beautiful dark and white shine. And see, here's another very important little white line that you're gonna wanna save right there. So anyway, yeah, you can go to that and see what you come up with. If your pencil gets dull and you wanna sharpen it, there will be a sharpener in the back, but there should be mechanical pencils sort of scattered throughout. And there might be a couple more of those back in the back. So, okay, that will help you get some of your detail in there. Some of these pencils may or may not be quite as good as achieving dark, so if you feel frustrated, it may be part of the pencil as well. Thank you all for coming. I see some really neat shading out there. I see some people that are really getting some vivid contrast and some beautiful shine. And I'd really encourage you, if you can get some beautiful, if you can get your shapes accurate on something like this, you can certainly do faces. Faces are more fun than this, I'll tell you that. So if you learn how to get your accurate shapes, I'd really encourage you to try people. I think you would have fun with them. So thank you all very much.
Okay, I want to say something. Carol's not just talking off the top of her head. If you want to see some of her work or buy some of her work, there's two books out in the bookstore, God's Miracle Snow and God's Miracle and Earthworm. Both of those books were illustrated by Carol. She has some lovely art in there, so. Just help yourself with that. Thank you for doing it.